Rotogrinders, here we are. It's last call. Oh, wait, no, it's not last call. That's just muscle memory kicking in there. It's been a while since I've done a last call, but we're going on the opposite end of the spectrum. The first look, sponsored by DraftKings. We have Bryce Maurer with us. We have Stevie TPFL Young with us. We've got some football. We've got some baseball, but we're not going to talk about baseball. But let's dive right in, fellas. We've got a lot going on. We're going to skip all the other stuff that's been going on in the interest of time here, and we're just going to focus on football. So let's look at that old that Thursday night game here. Bryce, is this a Thursday night fade completely, or is there anything you can unearth in this game?
You can get something. A lot of it comes down to if Andrew Luck is going to play and at what capacity he comes played at. A lot of questions right on his shoulder right now. In cash games, I'm probably going to be avoiding the Colts. The one guy you could talk me onto is Dante Moncrief, who has been getting a fair share of targets and is still relatively underpriced. But, I mean, Gore pretty much relies on the Colts offense, getting near the red zones and scoring touchdowns. They don't have a great team total. I'm not in love with that for cash games.
All right, so we're just going to dive right in. Stevie, 42 over-under here, 44 over-under. Each team's projected to score 3 touchdowns. Do you trust Arian Foster? Do you trust anybody from Houston?
DeAndre Hopkins. But DeAndre Hopkins, it all depends on Vontae Davis. Davis didn't practice again today. He was seen in a boot leaving the game on Sunday. So it all really depends on Vontae Davis. If Vontae Davis doesn't play, I'm going to load up on DeAndre Hopkins. I don't mind playing him in cash on the Thursday slate. No Nate Washington, no Cecil Shorts. Both of those guys have already been ruled out. So it's DeAndre Hopkins and Kenneth Murphy, I think is his name. I don't trust Foster. I want to see him at least one more game. Let's see if he can stay healthy for, a full game, and this game stays close. So I don't mind Hopkins. That's about it.
All right, I don't mind that either. I knew the other two guys were hurt. We've got Keith Mumphrey, who is a rookie, and then we've got Jalen Strong, who's their other rookie out of the Pac-10. So if there's 30 throws, what do we say, 25 of them go to Hopkins as targets?
I think he sees at least 10 plus targets without a doubt, like no question in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get into the good stuff. Let's get into the Chicago Bears. Bryce, I know that you are a huge fan of Smokin' Jay Cutler. You have a fat head of his on your wall at school. This is good times. What are you looking at from this game? And don't hold back.
I'm looking at the Bears' offense not really doing a whole lot. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he's probably going to end up playing this week, but, I mean – Jay Cutler's still going to force the ball to him. He's going to try and throw it in tight areas. They're going to be down probably. I like the Chiefs defense a lot this week if you're looking at team defenses. If you're looking at the home side of the game from the Bears, I could see a Cutler-Jeffrey pairing being really under the radar, possibly toss Martell Bennett in there. Matt Forte is underpriced around the industry and getting the most touches in football, so I could see him kind of – I don't trust the game flow, even though he's kind of a safe back because he can catch in the passing game and work in the running game for cash games. I'm not going to really be trusted in there this week. He's more of a GPP play for me.
All right. Stevie, on the other side of the ball here, I think you're going to have something that may cause some controversy here. Who do you like from the chefs, the Kansas City chefs? What do you got cooking?
Well, as of right now, and this could change, but as of right now, I like Alex Smith in cash games. On a couple of different sites, DraftKings, not so much. FanDuel, he's locked in on my cash lineup for Thursday right now. And that's probably not going to change unless we see a lot of news come out and Vontae Davis plays or something along those lines. But yeah, I like Alex Smith here. Chicago secondary has been one of the worst secondaries in the league. It's a secondary that you don't have to feel that Smith is going to get pressured too much. And then one thing that I really like to do here with Smith is I'm going to be pairing him with Kelce a lot. The Bears are not giving up a ton of yardage to quarterbacks this season. But again, they're giving up a ton of touchdowns. They cannot stop anybody in the red zone throwing the ball. So I think that Alex Smith and a Travis Kelce pairing is a good matchup here. And, you know, Jamal Charles, where he's cheap. If he's the same price as Le'Veon Bell, we'll get into that. I much prefer Le'Veon Bell this week over Charles. But, you know, like Bryce said, it's either going to be I'm going to pay up for Bell. Charles is kind of in between Bell and Forte. And Forte's just getting just an enormous amount of workload right now. So it's going to be Bell and Forte for me. I don't mind Charles. I think he's a decent play.
All right. So even though Smith has broken 20 fantasy points just barely with a 20.9 and a 23.2 on DraftKings, including a 7 in there, you're still okay with this?
Yeah, I think that he's not going to turn the ball over. I think there's a good opportunity for him to throw 1 to 2 touchdowns, pick up 200 yards. And on FanDuel, like I said, FanDuel here, it's very easy to have that 12 to 16 points floor that, you know, I think that he'll have. He throws a second touchdown, he really exceeds that. Throws for 250 yards, he exceeds it even more.
Bryce, will you allow this?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, it's not my favorite play ever, but there is some merit behind it.
Okay. Maybe I need to take another look at it. We'll see. Stevie's got all week to convince me, and somehow he usually has my number. All right, next game. Here's one that I'm kind of interested in quite a bit. We have the Washington Redskins going to Atlanta. Atlanta likes to give up the points. They like to score the points. I'm seeing this one a potential shootout. It is a 58 over under. Bryce, we've got Kirk Cousins. We've got Jamison Crowder. What's going on here? Where are you looking? Oh, and by the way, Chris Thompson? What happened to Matt Jones?
Yeah, the Redskins running back situation is just one I'm pretty much looking to avoid for the most part this week. You know, it's between three guys right now. Depending on game flow, one of them will do well. It's definitely not a good game flow for Alfred Morris, so you're stuck between Thompson and Jones, and you don't really know what's going to happen there. So maybe as a tournament play, you know, taking for the receiving potential PPR site like DraftKings, but outside of that, I'm staying away from the backfield. I can't touch Kirk Cousins in cash games. Just can't do it, but I could definitely see him as a tournament pairing because I expect them to be playing from behind with either Garcon, or you got to check on Reed's status. He got a little banged up last week. And he has to
I believe he's in the concussion protocol still.
Yeah. So to me, it would be surprising if he plays at this point, but I mean, you're probably not going to know by Thursday lock. So I wouldn't touch him on that slate.
All right. Yeah, I'm thinking that Crowder's kind of a sneaky play. I don't mind that. Don't mind Cousins. All right, Stevie, let's go to the other side here. One of our favorite moderators is a huge Atlanta fan. Are you going to back him up this week?
Yeah, I like Matt Ryan this week. Washington's a team that you can throw on. Their secondary isn't as bad as it was last year. They're a team we picked on a ton last year as far as quarterbacks go. They have gotten better. I'll give them that. They smashed the run. So they have a really good run defense. So this is a tough game for Freeman. Again, Freeman's touches are through the roof right now. His usage is through the roof. If Coleman doesn't play, which he practiced limited today, Coleman doesn't play, you have to have exposure to Freeman. He's going to be catching the ball out of the backfield. They're going to be using him. You have to look at him right now, especially he's still only 6.3K on DraftKings. The touches, the catches, you're going to tell me a guy is going to start with 5 points because he's going to get 5 catches out of the backfield. You know, you almost have to lock him in at that point. It is a tough matchup. This Washington run defense is very good, but Freeman is going to get the touches.
Are we talking about him on a full point PPR or half point?
I'm still only playing him on full point. I haven't played him on FanDuel the last 2 weeks, and it's burned me, and it might burn me again this week, but I'm still sticking to what I think is right for him. And what I think for right for him, especially in this matchup, is full PPR sites. And that really depends on Coleman too. Because if Coleman plays, that might hurt the touches a little bit, but you have to respect what Freeman's done. The coaching staff has to do it. And the real red flag here is Julio Jones is dealing with a toe/hamstring injury. If he is going into the weekend where he's questionable and he's not 100%, I think you have to look at Hankerson. Like, that could be a really sneaky combo of Matt Ryan and Hankerson. We've already talked about how you can throw on this Washington secondary. Hankerson might be the guy that has a big weekend that nobody's talking about. And as the week goes along, people might talk about him a lot more. But he's only 4K on DraftKings. And he could be one of those guys that gets 5-plus catches this week.
They get the revenge game with that alone as well. You want to get the little narrative going on.
I was just going to say, I believe he was a high-round draft pick that flamed out with the Washington, and then now he gets away from the stink, and he does pretty well. We'll see. They don't have a viable tight end, I don't think. Tammy just hasn't. He's too old.
Yeah.
And that's replacing the oldest guy out there who was a Hall of Famer, and why am I blanking on his name? Who's
Tony Gonzalez?
Yes, thank you. All I could think of was Kansas City Chiefs. His name is not Kansas City Chiefs. No, it's not. All right, next game, the Seattle Seahawks and the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, here's a question. Aaron Rodgers, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, said that he thought God preferred the Packers. Bryce, I don't know. After watching that game on Monday night, I think Aaron Rodgers may have been wrong.
Sorry, can you say that again? You broke up a little bit.
Oh, my perfect setup. No, I was saying, does God prefer Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Or does he prefer Russell Wilson and the Seahawks?
You know, I'm not exactly sure who God prefers, but, you know, you have to love Russell Wilson's usage rate running the ball at this point. You know, he's going to get you 4 or 5 points guaranteed from the ground game. You know, it's like a receiver that's going to rack up catches on a PPR site. It's money in the bag right now, even if Marshawn Lynch plays, you know. He may look to keep the ball a little bit more. Cincinnati's been playing some high-scoring games recently. Wilson's a guy I would look at in cash games. It's not someone I'm playing right now, but, you know, you could definitely make a case for him simply because he has such a high floor with his running abilities. Going to the rest of the Seattle offense, Marshawn Lynch, you know, that's another injury situation you're gonna have to figure out. Right now I want no part of the backfield. You know, I'm analyzing all these road teams, and it ends up that I don't like a ton of road running backs just because they never have positive game scripts going for them going into the week. So, yeah, they just don't use Jimmy Graham too much. Not too excited about any of their receivers either. So that's pretty much where I'm sitting at with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I think we could maybe make a tiny case for Rawls, but it's not – there's no real reason to even stretch and go there. I don't mind Wilson too much. Everything's going to have to go through him. But some people are picking Cincinnati as Super Bowl contenders, and they're going to need their defense.
They've played great football this year. There's a reason they're slight favorites against the Seattle Seahawks at home. I mean, not many teams are favored against the Seahawks. So – definitely shows you Vegas respects them.
All right. Stevie, what do you think about your fellow redhead quarterback there, the Red Rifle in Cincy?
I think AJ Green is way underpriced. He's 7.7K this week on DraftKings. He's not going to be shadowed again with Sherman. You know, they just don't do that much. I don't see him doing it this weekend. And I think Green – at 7.7K, I think you have to look at him in tournaments. There's a reason that the Bengals are favored at home this week against Seattle. If this game was in Seattle, we would just be moving on. I wouldn't be touching too much in this game. But this game being in Cincinnati, this Cincinnati team is a team I think that everybody needs to, you know, pay attention to this season. I think they're a very good team. And Andy Dalton has played well this season. Don't discount him yet. Good coaching there. And I'm not going to be touching too much Dalton. I'm not a big fan of Eifert this weekend, especially coming off of a good game. I think that the play is AJ Green here, especially on DraftKings.
All right. I'm actually going to look to Dalton in tournaments. My thinking is this, Stevie, and tell me where you land on this, and Bryce, you can correct me also. So we look at the receiving target. So we know that one of their linebackers, or Earl Thomas, is probably going to be looking to Eifert. We know that AJ Green's going to be blanketed most likely. Marvin Jones potentially could do a little damage. Maybe Mohamed Sanu, if they've got their, if they're out there in the nickel, you know, they've got Hill, they've got Gio Bernard. Move on the Seahawks. Any thoughts on that? I mean, I think this game has the potential to shoot out, which kind of makes me like both quarterbacks.
Yeah, if it turns into a shootout, I think Gio becomes the play because he's been the guy that they've used in a lot of passing downs this season. Jeremy Hill's coming off a 3-touchdown game, and I think his ownership's going to go up, especially only at 6K. His ownership's definitely going to go up going into this game. It's just really tough to take a running back against Seattle, especially a guy like Hill, who has been a guy that has fumbled, and when he fumbles, they don't really give him a lot of runs. So I think if I'm going to do anything here, it's probably green. And then if you're thinking that the game is going to be a type of shootout game, which I don't think so, but I can totally get behind it, Dalton Geo combo. I don't hate that.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
I could do that as well.
All right. And again, tournament only, but that's just one of those you
yeah, see, for tournaments. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you watch enough of a team and all of a sudden you're like, you know, potentially I could see this working out in a way.
Nobody saw the Rams and the Seahawks being a shootout in week 1. That happened. So,
oh yeah, 64.
You're
onto points.
Something there, Emac.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Bryce, New Orleans Saints, Philadelphia Eagles. What do we like from the Saints this week? Is there a receiver we can trust that rhymes with silly?
I'm not sure you can go as far to trust him in cash games this week, but he's really underpriced across the industry. Willie Snead. He's emerging as one of Drew Brees' top targets, and I mean, they have to throw the football. You know, you're going to see a lot of the ball against the Eagles' offense. You're going to be on the field a lot. So, you know, I like him more on a PPR side, but he's only 5,300 on FanDuel too. So I can definitely see him as a play there if you're looking to go cheap at receiver. I think there's decent value across the board this week, which will let you pay up for some guys just when you're constructing your lineups and whatnot. Drew Brees is moderately priced in the quarterback range, and there are some guys I like more than him this week. So while I do typically like quarterbacks against the Eagles because they play at such a fast pace, it's not something I'm really looking at all that much.
All right. Any interest at all in Ingram?
Yeah, I could see him. You know, they're going to definitely be trying to get Spiller more involved going forward. I mean, he single-handedly won them the game against Dallas with that 80-yard touchdown. So, you know, more of a tournament play. You know, you can never trust that game script in cash games. But, you know, Kiko Alonso's out. Michael Kendricks is banged up at the linebacker position. So you could see Ingram as a tournament play for sure.
All right, so let's look at Philadelphia. What the heck's going on in that back? We trust their quarterback. He actually threw deep last week. Do we know what running back is going to get any production? Is there a receiver worth trusting? Do we want to look at somebody sneaky? What's going on here?
I still can't touch DeMarco Murray. Until he goes out and has a big game, I just cannot touch him. Like, you know, some people are going to be like, well, is it the Cowboys' offensive line? Is Murray one of those guys that really wasn't that good and was this offensive line? And so far, those people are right. Like, Joseph Randall and Lance Dunbar are still getting a lot of rushing yards, and DeMarco Murray is a guy that's at, 46 yards rushing, 47 yards rushing this season? So, yeah, he missed a game. But, all right, so my take here, Sam Bradford is an excellent play this weekend. New Orleans is a team that's given up the second most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this season. Bradford did throw the ball a little deep last week. Riley Cooper was a guy that he looked at deep. It's still, to me, it's Bradford and Jordan Matthews combo. And those are really the only two people I'm going to target outside of Darren Sproles, just because he's Darren Sproles. It's a full point PPR. He has the ability to run back punts to get points that way. But I do agree with what Bryce just said. Willie Snead, 3K. I think he's an excellent tournament option this weekend.
Oh, I may have him in cash. I may have him in cash.
I don't think I could hate that either. Like 3K.
DraftKings 3K.
You need 12 points from him against this defense. It's going to be one of the highest scoring games of the weekend.
Yes. And before Bryce passes out, I play more than one lineup. So doesn't mean he's going to be on all of them. Doesn't mean he's going to be on all of them. All right. Speaking of crazy, what the hell's Emac going to do? I am kind of on the Travis Benjamin bandwagon quietly, though, Bryce. We've got Cleveland. We've got the Ravens. Looking at this game log, He hasn't had what? He hasn't had a return touchdown in 2 weeks, but he's got 13-plus fantasy points. That's not bad for 4,500.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, around the industry don't really think what he's doing is sustainable, and I'm not exactly sure it's sustainable, too. You know, he's extremely touchdown-dependent. You know, he's not going to rack up tons of yards in this Cleveland offense, but they do feature him. They do look for the big play towards him, and for the simply for the fact that they're looking to get him big plays, I'll have him in some tournament lineups this weekend, but he's pretty much the only one on the Browns I'm going to touch. You could get a little bit into the run game if you want to get Duke Johnson involved. I could see him as a tournament play. I'd be staying away from Crowell. I want nothing to do with their QBs or their tight ends.
All right, Stevie. We'll make up a little time. Baltimore, is there anything worth taking on Baltimore?
The defense. I think the defense is in a good spot at home, division game. I think this game's going to be one of those grinded-out games, really boring. I don't see either team, like, really exploding here on offense. But if it does happen, like, Cleveland's defense has been awful this season. Joe Hayden's been dealing with injuries. He's been on and off the field. Steve Smith is banged up. I think that maybe a shot in the dark here is Kamar Aiken. I think that you can look at him in tournaments. Maybe Flacco naked. Somebody's going to have to score here. So, you know, there's going to be some production somewhere, but I think the defense is to play here and really not going much further than the defense here for me.
All right. Best Stevie picture on Twitter with the Wacko for Flacco naked reference wins a t-shirt. There we go.
Done.
Yeah, we go. All right. Yeah, that game's just a mess. I want no part of it. It feels like, wait for it, almost like a Thursday night football game. All right. I don't know what we're doing with this one, but I had some Allen Hurns this week. A fair amount, actually, on FanDuel, on DraftKings.
Me too, buddy.
Not one, but two touchdowns. Everybody was – not everybody. A ton of people were bitching about having lost. I had a good week. Bryce, is lightning going to strike twice on this one?
It could. I'm not a huge fan of this Tampa Bay secondary. I really think this is more of a spot for Yeldon, though. You know, saw tons of touches last week. I could see him as a cash game play. I can see him as a tournament play. You know, just the opportunities there, and I really try and think they keep the ball on the ground. Worked pretty well for him last week against the South Colts run defense, and it could work for them again on the road. I expect this to be a relatively low-scoring game with some potential for big plays. I could also see Tampa Bay defense. You know, they're very cheap around the industry. While I do expect the Jaguars to run the ball a lot, you know, Blake Bortles is always, susceptible to the pick six.
Yeah.
All right. Stevie, let's talk about Tampa Bay. The muscle hamster, any interest?
I don't mind him. Like, all right, you have to, when you're doing this, you have to consider touches. And Doug Martin he's averaging 18 touches a game over the first four games. Two games, he's had over 20 touches, so I'm with Bryce. I think you really need to have exposure to both of these defenses in tournaments because Bortles is very easily, you know, a guy that can throw a pick six. And then Jameis Winston's another guy that we saw it in college with him. He throws a ton of interceptions. So I think you can have both defenses. No Winston for me. I'll have a little bit of Doug Martin, and I'll have a little bit of Mike Evans. I expect Mike Evans to continue to get a lot of looks, and he's a guy that I think you want exposure to him every week in a tournament just because he's going to be, you know, just a guy that's going to see a ton of targets.
Was it 2 weeks in a row that Winston has thrown a pick six on the first passing play? I know he did it this week. Did he do it 2 weeks ago? I forget. But anyway.
I don't remember.
I think he did it first play of the season.
Okay.
I think he definitely did it in the first game against Tennessee.
Okay. I just want to see.
He did it so much in college.
It's kind of like that year that Peyton Manning for the Colts somehow had like seven pick six INTs. Or I guess that's a duplication, but six or seven pick sixes. That's just crazy. It seems like an anomaly. All right. Back on track. St. Louis Rams, Green Bay Packers. Bryce, do we have a new running back in St. Louis?
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, you do. They're going to be riding Todd Gurley as much as they can, even on the road. I mean, Jeff Fisher has proven over and over and over that if he has a running back that he likes and he can have success with, you know, they're going to ride him. I took the zone of defense a lot last week in cash games, and it hurt me. You know, I completely underestimated the impact that Gurley would have on that offense, what Jeff Fisher would try and do with him. I think they try and do it this week. It's probably about the worst game script you can get playing against the Packers or the Patriots, you know, on the road, at home. You know, they're probably going to be down, but they will be trying to run the ball. So I could see him as a cash or tournament play for that. Tavon Austin strictly as a tournament play for me. He's been getting a lot of uses in the red zone, and they really try to get him used in space, give him the ball, let him get some big plays in there. So those are my two players on the side of the game.
All right. Stevie, any counters on that, or are you on board? You seem to – I want to give you a second to gush over Gurley if you need to.
No, Gurley, man. Like, I was
– Gurley, man. I see what you did there.
I used Arizona's defense a lot last week, and I was absolutely shocked. I went back and watched that game, and I was like, this guy's the real deal. Don't know how much I love him this week because I do see the Rams getting behind in this game, and I think Nick Foles is an interesting tournament option. Outside of that, you know, if you're going to play Tavon Austin, you really are touchdown dependent there, but I don't hate it. For me, on the Green Bay side of things, it's really – it's so much up in the air with, like, injuries. Cobb was limited today. James Jones was limited today. Devontae Adams is a guy that still, you know, he didn't even practice today. So what's gonna happen here is it's all going to be injury dependent. If all these guys are hurt, then I'm not going to be playing too much Lacy. If these guys are going to play, Eddie Lacy is one of my favorite options this weekend. St. Louis is a team that's giving up a lot of rushing yards, a lot of rushing points, a lot of points to running backs. I think Lacy's in a good spot. And Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. I don't really have to get into it too much. He's not my top option tonight or this week. If he is priced around the same as Tom Brady, I would definitely go Brady. But I think Rodgers would be under-owned this week, especially after burning everybody last week.
Do you think under 10% owned perhaps in tournaments?
Yeah, I could say that for sure.
Bryce, what's your guess? But I think that's right around the line of demarcation. What's your tournament guess for Rodgers across the industry?
10, 15, maybe 8. I got an estimate from Thursday. You know, it's going to be somewhere around there. He's
half of Brady?
Yeah. People will go Brady before him. Think it makes sense in cash games to do that. But in tournaments like Rodgers, just as much.
All right. Okay, the Buffalo Bills going to the Tennessee Titans. I was talking off air. I'm writing up my cash game quarterback. It's Tyrod Taylor, T-Mobile. He's gone down $100 on FanDuel. He looks to see what he is over here on DraftKings, 5,700, 58. So, well, I have my question queued up for Stevie. We're going to spend a second on him. What are your thoughts on Tyrod? And then give you, and then we'll get back to game analysis. Oh, sorry, Bryce, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I like him. He's one. There's three QBs I'm really looking at for cash this week. He's one of them.
Yes.
I like him and Anthony Dixon. You know, if Carlos Williams doesn't play, Sammy Watkins is probably not going to play. I mean, they're going to need offense to come from somewhere. This Tennessee defense is not very good. It is a division game. It's a pretty ugly over-under. It all depends on if the value opens up to where you need to pay for Tyrod or not. You know, because if you can pay up for Brady, if you can pay up for Rodgers and pay up for a stud like that, I'll do that. But if the value opens up or some of these value plays become a little more viable in my mind, Tyrod becomes not quite as much of a cash game option. So that's going to come more down to roster construction over the weekend for me.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I just look at they've played against Winston, they've played against Manziel, and they allowed each of them about 16 FanDuel points. I was doing my write-up on FanDuel, but they allowed each of them about 200 yards and two touchdowns. That pretty much pays off his number. Everything's going to go through him. We got to think he's in play for 30 to 50 rushing yards in a game like this. And they're road favorites. They're 2.5-point road favorites. I just like the way it's shaping up. Stevie, where would you go, Tyrod, or would you go with Alex Smith?
I think I'm still going to lean Smith slightly, on FanDuel, that is. DraftKings, if I'm talking on DraftKings right now, I'm on Mariota on DraftKings. I'm really, right now I have Brady. There's enough value, I think, on DraftKings where it's pretty easy to fit Brady into your cash lineups. But Mariota's a guy that I love this guy. I've played him every week and he hasn't scored, what, less than 16 fantasy points? He has at least two touchdowns in every game. He has at least 200 yards throwing in every game. He's adding rushing yards, but not much. You know, he's only ran for, I think, 25 yards in three games. He's coming off a bye. So here you got a rookie quarterback that's coming off a bye against a secondary that you can throw on that you can't really run on. And he should be ready for this game. I think he's going to put up a huge number in this game. And I think if you're out in Vegas, Dean might get a text from Stevie. I think you bet the over in the 41.5 in this game.
Yeah, that seemed pretty low to me when I was initially looking at the game. You know, that's what has me off Tyrod a little bit compared to some of these other teams with higher implied team totals.
All right, Arizona. I don't know what happened to their defense. And the Detroit Lions.
Really Gurley happened to their defense.
Yeah, that is true. But they only had like one defense or one fantasy point. It's just horrible. Yeah. So who are we looking at for the Cardinals this week, Bryce? Are you scared at all of the Detroit defense that looked pretty good against Seattle? Or is that just Seattle not having any offensive options?
I think Arizona is one of the best offenses in the league right now. They're expected to have Andre Ellington back for the game. I think they'll be utilizing the pass game a lot this week. Big fan of Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. Outside of that, I'm not going to be touching the zone of running back situation. John Brown just, you know, he might have a big game here or there, but Fitz is so much more of a consistent option just because he is such a rapport with Palmer. The tight end position is not something I'm really looking to target against the Lions. Fells or Gresham don't interest me at all. Catanzaro I can see as a kicker play. I like the zone of offense some, don't love them. Probably wouldn't pay for Palmer in cash games. Fitz would be the cash game play I would be looking at here.
All right. Stevie, anything tweak your beak with the Lions here?
First of all, I definitely agree with Bryce. Fitz is going to have a bounce back game this week. A lot of people used him in cash last week. He kind of burned us with a fumble late in that game. Yeah, I absolutely love Calvin Johnson this week. I think he's one of my top tournament plays. Everybody saw the play. Everybody saw the play. Even me being extremely busy this week, I still saw Calvin Johnson fumble at the one-yard line. He had 11 targets this past game. We really don't know what's going to happen with Ebron. It looks like he's going to be out. Timothy Wright becomes the tight end at that point. And all that means to me is Stafford's going to look at Calvin. Calvin's going to burn Patrick Peterson. And Calvin's going to have a big game.
And that's it.
That's it. I'm not playing no Stafford for me. All Calvin.
Okay, good to know. All right, speaking of quarterbacks that were once good, Bryce, we've got Peyton Manning, Peyton Noodle Arm Game Manager. What's going on? It is the Raiders. Is there anything you like? What the hell's going on in their backfield? And yes, 14-team league, 8th pick, I took C.J. Anderson, and I haven't started him since week one.
Well, at least he's been on your bench instead of giving you zeros in your actual lineup. So it's a running back situation. If I'm going to take a chance on one of the two guys, I'm taking a chance on Hillman. Just not very high on C.J. Anderson at all at this point in the season. I actually like Peyton in this spot. Think they'll see a good amount of the ball with how dominant the Broncos' defense is. And their defense is – I mean, they have great secondary players, guys who can rush the pass or rush the quarterback, excuse me, and stop the run. So they pretty much have the whole package defensively. I do like their offense. I could see a Manning, DT, Sanders stack because you're pretty sure who the production is going to come from. Like Sanders a little bit more than Thomas this week.
And I'm sorry, I was typing in chat and not paying attention. Any mention about Owen Daniels?
I did have him written up. The Raiders are absolutely awful against tight ends. Played Bennett across the board in cash last week. They've given up touchdowns to him every week. So that's definitely something you want to look at. But, you know, Owen Daniels just has not been producing at all this year. You know, he's going to be bottom of the barrel. I wouldn't trust him in cash games, even against the awful, awful defense, but definitely think he's worth a look in tournaments.
All right. Stevie, what do you like from the Raiders? I think Latavius Murray might be a little dinged up. Michael Crabtree a little dinged up. The Denver defense is pretty solid. Is this just a stay-away game? But what if you're playing in the late afternoon slates trying to, you know, tilt? Which is tilt entering late contest. Hat tip to Dave Loughran, who came up with that one.
All right, so here's the thing. Denver has the best pass rush in the NFL, which Bryce kind of touched on. Oakland actually has the second best pass block behind Pittsburgh. So if they're able to stop the pass rush a little bit, I think Derek Carr to Cooper is another we can just continue to ride Cooper. He's going to guy that's just going to continue to get a ton of targets. And at 6.6K, I don't mind it. I'm actually going to play a few tournament lineups, especially on DraftKings with Carr and Cooper combined, because like I said, if that pass block is able to slow down Denver's pass rush a little bit, I definitely could see them having a good game. I think you actually have to look at the Denver defense this week as well, because there's a good chance that they don't slow that pass rush down, and the Denver, it's just going to be one of those boring games kind of.
All right. All right. The New England Patriots, the Dallas Cowboys. All right. There's a lot to talk about here with the Patriots. What are you looking at, Bryce? You hinted at Tom Brady. You want to look at any of the receivers? Is this a must Gronk week? Are you staying away from the running backs? What's going on?
I don't think it's a must Gronk week, but if I'm not going to be playing Gronk, I'm probably going to be playing Jason Witten on the other side of this game. I think he's a really good value over there. Dallas should be passing a lot, and we just can continually check the ball down to him. I don't think it's a must Gronk week, but, you know, it's kind of hard. If these value plays open up, it's going to be kind of hard for me to pass on Gronk. He just offers you such a floor and ceiling advantage at a position where you typically don't see a ton of points scored from. So, yeah, I like Gronk. I also really like Edelman. Just the number of touches he gets, the way they get him in space, they're coming off a bye week. I expect Brady to be on point, sharp, and looking to put up a lot of points this week. I really like their whole offense, specifically those two guys in the passing game.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time avoiding Gronk, particularly on FanDuel. I can make a few things happen differently on DraftKings, and I like the flex spot, and I don't even mind messing around with two of the cheaper tight ends. But the difference between him and the next best tight end is it's pretty sizable this week. Now, they got to play the games. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, and this, for the love of God, it's been the year of the tight end. But I'm kind of afraid to not have Gronk this week, and I don't always get that feeling.
Yeah, definitely think he's one of the top plays of the week at any position. As you noted, I mean, he's by far and away the top end. It just depends to if you can find the value of the other positions to get him in. He gives you a huge advantage at the position, no matter who your opponent plays.
All right. Speaking of opponents, we've got Stevie. Talk to us about the Cowboys. Are you enjoying this Jason Witten old man resurgence?
I think you touched on it a lot, Bryce. If you're not playing Gronk, I think Witten's a good play. Like I mentioned, I think Kelsey's a good play too, but Witten's a guy you have to look at. We have to look at where the targets are going to go from Lance Dunbar. I don't expect Whedon to throw the ball deep. I expect him to stay with these underneath passes, these short passes. And I think that Witten benefits from that. And I think Cole Beasley benefits from that. Those are the two guys. Terrence Williams has a good matchup this week too. I don't mind Terrence Williams against Malcolm Butler. I expect this to be a high scoring game. I expect Brady to throw the ball and put up a lot of points. I expect him to be the highest scoring quarterback this week. So Dallas has to keep up, and the way that they're going to have to keep up is throwing the ball. So I don't mind, you know, a mixture of Witten, Williams, and Beasley. Witten being my number one target here in this offense this week. Love the flex. You can play both tight ends from this game, and you'd probably be in a really good spot.
All right. Chat, feel free to fire up some questions here. We're going to have a little time to get to those. Maybe we'll see if they've got a rapid-fire draft up. We have two more games. We have the primetime games. We'll talk a little maybe some tournament strategy, a little quick cash game strategy, and then we'll get on out of here because we got another show tonight. With that amazing lead-in, we have an unamazing quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. Is it over? Did he get jinxed by signing the big contract, or was he just bad to begin with, Bryce?
Don't think he got jinxed with a bad contract, and I honestly don't think he's that bad in the long run. They don't have tons of weapons around him. They have a really poor offensive line.
Bryce, you know, Bryce, you're young. You don't understand this yet. We pile on people when they are down. We kick them when they are down, okay? All right,
well,
take two.
I'm not kicking Cap yet. I might be kicking him for this season. Not going to be playing him here, but, you know, the guy's still young. You know, San Fran has the potential to build some talent around him, so I wouldn't count him out quite yet. That being said, I like the Giants' defense here. I'm really not a fan of the Niners' offense this week at all. If you're going to take a stab at it, I would take a stab that they're up and they try and ride high as much as they can in the game as a tournament play. Outside of that, I'm pretty much off them.
All right. Stevie, the Giants. What can we attack on San Francisco?
Odell Beckham Jr., baby. Get me Odell. Yeah, the pass defense here for San Francisco has proven that this season is not their year. We're going to be able to pick on this secondary a ton this year. They're a team that's giving up a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns, a lot of points to wide receivers here. We've seen what Antonio Brown did against this team. We've seen what Larry Fitzgerald did against this team. We were expecting Cobb to do it. Game flow kind of changed that game a lot last week, and we didn't see a lot of points. But this game's on the road. It's in New York. It is all the Odell Beckham Jr. I don't mind Eli Manning as well, but Beckham is definitely my top wide receiver this week. It's not even close.
Really? Where do you think his ownership percentage is going to be compared to Julio?
Wide receivers are so tough. Projecting wide receiver
ownership. So not even a percentage, just compared to him. Who do you think is going to be more?
I still think that Julio is going to be more. If they say Julio is good to go and he's going to play, I think Julio will be the highest owned wide receiver this week.
Yeah, Bryce, what is your thought?
I bet he'll be double what Beckham is.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Okay, that's about where I'm thinking too. Anything else on there? No, nothing from the running game. Maybe Josh Brown? A little Josh Brown action? Sunday night hammer?
No. I hate spending up for kicker, so probably not. If I spend up for kicker, it'd be New England's kicker every week.
Really?
Every week. Okay. He's guaranteed 10 points a week. Like, you're going to spend 5K E-Mac, for him.
E-Mac knows I can't say his name, but... You know, if you're spending on the kicker from the best offense who's not afraid to kick field goals and is not going to go for two.
Yeah, Gostkowski or whatever the heck his
name
is.
Even Gostkowski.
Yeah,
after I butchered it over and over again.
Cool, I got to try to trick him into saying something every now and then.
He's guaranteed 10 points a week. Like, just go ahead. If you want 10 points out of your kicker, just put him in.
All right. So now that Bryce is all happy, I heard him perking up there when you mentioned none other than Antonio Brown. The streak's over though, Bryce. The 5-50 streak is over. Still had 5 catches, was so close. I was rooting for it, and I had no skin in that game. Talk to me a little bit about what it's like to have Michael Vick, your hopes pinned on Michael Vick.
I've always loved Mike Vick, so you know, I don't mind it as much as other Steelers fans do. I enjoy watching Vick play.
Or I should say the ghost of Michael Vick.
He managed the game well, and they should have won the game. That wasn't on him last week. That being said, you know, he's not going to be able to get the ball to Brown like Ben did. At 8.6K, I'm off Brown this week. If there's one player I'm touching here, it's Bell. He's the safest player in the NFL. They're going to run their entire offense through him. Run game, pass game, if they're up, if they're down, he touches the football.
All right. Speaking of touches, over under 27 and a half.
It touches in total?
Yeah.
Slightly under.
I'll take the over.
I'm leaning towards the over, too. We'll see. It's going to be right in there.
He had 29 touches last week, and this game is definitely going to be a little bit higher scoring, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Chargers do like to hold the ball, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be high.
Yeah,
if I'm going under 27 and a half, just slightly under.
Yeah, so you're a Pittsburgh fan. I was watching the game with another one of you know me, Mac Mark, but he's a huge Steelers fan, and he was getting so mad that Brown was not getting targets or catches, and I was like, dude, he dropped a touchdown. You know that ball hit him in the hands. That's a Brown catchable pass.
I thought he should have had it. I mean, he probably makes that catch maybe 7 or 8 times out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, he makes it more often than he doesn't. So, I mean, the chance was there. I just don't think he can have a monster game with Vick at QB.
No, Vick doesn't throw the ball enough. Like, Vick is a running quarterback.
Yeah.
All right. Stevie, last game of the night. You know who I like? I like Phillip Rivers.
Well, you have to. This secondary is awful. I think Bryce will agree, being a Steelers fan, that the secondary is lacking this year. It's not the same secondary.
It's been lacking dating back to last season. I mean, take out Nick Foles, who, of course, I played in cash that week, and Alex Smith. Every single quarterback has posted a top 10 fantasy performance a week against them. Like, they're a great team to stream quarterbacks against.
like we were talking like cash game quarterbacks. Brady, definitely a guy that you want to like hit number one, but you could get a pretty good price difference from Rivers to Brady, especially on DraftKings. And I didn't realize how cheap Rivers was until just now. And all that Mariota and all that Alex Smith and all that Tyrod Taylor cash game talk is totally out the window on DraftKings now. Like, Rivers is 6.2K on DraftKings. That's a joke. Like, lock him into your cash games. Like, you know, if you can fit him in on DraftKings, which is pretty easy to fit him in at 6.2K, I don't mind him. I don't mind Keenan Allen. I think the most interesting thing here, Pittsburgh has really struggled with tight ends. We saw it with Gronk in week one. We've seen it with I guess it was Vernon Davis and a little Celek. We didn't see it so much with St. Louis, which kind of was annoying. And then Baltimore, not really, because they didn't really have anybody except for Max last week. But where good tight ends have faced the Steelers defense, they have excelled. We saw four touchdowns to New England on week one. And Antonio Gates coming off of suspension, he's going to be hungry. Rivers likes him a lot. I think this actually downgrades Allen just a slight bit, not too much, because I think Allen's still going to be the top target here. But Antonio Gates is cheap across the industry. I think he's definitely in play this week.
Do we know the health status yet of Malcolm Floyd and Stevie Johnson? I know they were both questionable, but I don't know if that's resting on a Wednesday question.
No, Floyd has a concussion. He did individual drills today. I think he still has to do the protocol, all that stuff. And then Stevie Johnson hurt his hamstring. If I'm like 99% sure it's his hamstring. And I don't actually know if he practiced today or anything like that.
What do they get? If those two guys are out, I mean, everything's going to go to Keenan or Gates or what? Ladarius Green or Dontrell Inman? Is that going to be their
Allen?
Split one of them out or put them in the slot?
Allen to have easily 10 plus targets if that's the case. Like, he already has a good matchup against Crockwell or whatever. He's going to have a ton of targets anyway. And if you take those two guys out of the game, it's going to be Allen and Antonio Gates.
All right, let's do some questions here.
Why is Philip Rivers so cheap? Like, that, it's bothering me now that he's so cheap.
You're going to have to play some Sunday only, so you have some exposure to other people besides Philip Rivers.
I'm locking in, like, Thursday cash lineups now on DraftKings just because, like, you know, he's a guy that he's capable of 30 fantasy points. More realistic for, like, 20, but... Give me, you need 18 out of him at his price. Easily done.
All right. Bryce, who are you looking at? We'll just do some questions here. Bryce, who are you looking at for your top cash game plays at DraftKings and FanDuel? Just one from each is fine.
You know, Stevie touched on it. Really like Philip Rivers or Tom Brady. And I do have some Tyrod too, so I would lock one of those three in as your cash game QB this week.
All right. Stevie, who are you going to stack with Mariota?
I'll probably play him naked. If I stack with him, it'd be with Kendall Wright. And I think, like, talking like top cash game plays, I think Le'Veon Bell is your safest cash game running back this week. Just go ahead and pay up for him. It's pretty easy to fit him in.
All right. Oops, sorry, I closed the wrong window. Bryce, who are your top two cheapy wide receivers on FanDuel this week? This one's for Finn Four. He's asking about Harvin. In particular,
yeah, I could go him. Kind of depends on the status of some of the Buffalo players right now. Another guy I'm looking at along with him is Kamar Aiken. You know, he will probably be facing Joe Hayden, but you know, Flacco's going to get his yard somehow, and you know, it has to go through someone. So, opportunities there for him this week.
All right. I'm not completely against Willie Snead at 5,300. I like him better at the minimum on DraftKings, but if we're looking at FanDuel, I don't mind. Depends what else I got to sacrifice. If I can find my perfect defense and kicker and it ends up being Willie Snead, then that's what it's going to end up being with for me. All right. Let's see what else we have. What's for dinner, Emac? Well, tonight was actually Vietnamese beef and rice that my wife made. It was really good. We have this thing, it's called Fresh Dinner Fresh or something like that. So it's this thing that she got last week, and we got a couple of them this week. They basically deliver everything to your door, and it's on ice packs, and it's all in the right proportion sizes, and then it takes you 15 or 20 minutes to cook it. It was pretty good. We had it last night too. We had some sort of couscous last night.
So. Hashtag Emac life.
Well, hashtag we could only eat frozen pizzas so many times because we both work a lot. So there we go. No, I do a lot of, as chat knows, I do a lot of cooking on the weekends. So this is more, what are we trying to get done during the week instead of soup, salad, or pizza? There we go. Or me picking up something on the way home. True. All right. If Dixon starts for Buffalo, is he a must play on DraftKings in a GPP? Bryce.
No one's ever a must play in a GPP.
Okay. What happened with the must play Buffalo running back last week? I forget. Did he?
Oh, yeah. He scored like 14 points, didn't he?
Yeah, he caught a 30-yard touchdown, saved his day, didn't do shit on the ground. So, goes to show you, doesn't catch that ball, doesn't help you at all in GPP.
Oh, he burns us so bad if he doesn't score that touchdown last week.
Yeah. Pain and suffering. Are we on any Washington quarter or any Washington running backs, Bryce?
No.
Okay.
Not touching them.
That was an easy one. Stevie, Yeldon or Woodhead?
Yeldon. They've showed last week they're going to give him the touches. He has a good matchup this week.
All right. Bryce, you agree?
Definitely.
Is Allen Hurns safe for cash? Bryce, we'll go you on FanDuel, and Stevie, we'll go you on DraftKings.
No.
I agree 100%. No.
Are you going to play him still, though?
No, I think you have exposure in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, he can pop off, but, you know, it's not someone I'm very confident in popping off. You know, it's not a position. You don't have to punt anyone in NFL football. Like, you can fit some guys in your lineups with some value plays, whether it's going with a cheaper quarterback like Rivers. Like, you know, you can get that upgrade, you know, what, 1,400 from him to Fitz or something like that. Like, just be smart, play the guys who are going to get the production guaranteed.
All right. Here's one from A. Garrett. I'll grab this one real quick. How do you figure out if a player's point total exceeds their salary or not? That's a good question. It's all site dependent. The one that everybody kind of uses as their benchmark would be FanDuel. And for that, you look for about 2 FanDuel points for every 1,000 in salary. Now, it changes a little bit because while you'd like your kicker to get 10 or 11 points, they don't always do that. And sometimes you get players that do better or do more. But generally what you want to say is if you have a wide receiver or let's take Tyrod Taylor. He's 7,500 this week. If he can get 15 points, that's pretty good. We want him to get about 16.5, 17, and that would be, quote, exceeding value, right? Or right kind of at his threshold. And then anything beyond that is upside. The goal is to get about 120 points on FanDuel per week to win the majority of your cash games. Now, as we've seen 2 weeks ago, both on both sides, the Millie Maker scores were like 300, took it down. This week, both were just over 200. Things change a lot, and it gets different when there's bye weeks, heavy bye weeks. There's only 4 teams on a bye this week, but when there's heavy bye weeks, it changes. But that's generally how it works. Is that kind of how you look at it too, Bryce?
Yeah.
All right, Stevie, what do you look at for your a GPP threshold? I mean, you have what you like and you want to say, well, I can't see this guy scoring more than 2 touchdowns, so I don't want to pick him. How do you look at your guys for GPPs?
I think it all depends on the week. Last week, going into the week, I thought it was going to be a much lower scoring week than it was the week before, where we saw those really ridiculous scores. For tournaments, it really just depends on matchup. Like, I'll try to play guys that I think, like last week, was the easiest example. I thought that Vontae Davis was going to have a lot of Allen Robinson, so I loaded up on Hurns last week. It paid off for me. It doesn't always pay off that way. This week, looking at it, I think that Travis Kelce has an opportunity to score 2+ touchdowns, and I think everybody's going to have Gronk, and I think that Kelce can put up the same type of numbers that Gronk can, so I'm going to go different with Kelce over Gronk, and I think that he has the same upside because of the matchup. As far as skill goes, Gronk is much more skilled. He's the best tight end in the league, but looking at it, definitely looking at this matchup, I think Kelce has a chance, and then just take advantage of opportunities. You know, Freeman is a guy that's a perfect example. This guy's getting a ton of opportunity right now. He's getting you a ton of touches. We don't expect him to score 30 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks, both weeks. But he did it because he was getting the touches. The name that comes to mind to me this week that should see a ton of touches is Pierre Garçon. We expect Washington to be down in that game. No DeSean Jackson. Jordan Reed, there's a good chance he doesn't play. And Garçon should see all the targets in that game. So he's still cheap across the industry. So just look for these. You don't always have to go contrarian. Sometimes going contrarian means I'm going to have one guy that I think is like 4% owned. I'm going to have one guy that's like 10% owned. And then I'm going to take the best plays at every position outside of that. And I'm just going to hope those two guys go under owned and they perform. And I'll do that a lot. Like I'll change like two or three plays from my cash game lineup and I'll make that like five or six tournament lineups with different three players in those tournament lineups. And it'll put up 160 to 180 points sometimes. And I think that I'm in a good spot when I put up 180 points.
All right. That's good explanation. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. We'll finish it off. We'll do a couple more. Bryce, this one is a FanDuel cash game question. Would you stack Bell and Charles in the same lineup? I don't have a problem with it. I'm trying to start most of my lineups off with Bell. I would actually kind of look at Bell and Forte. Where would you go on that
one? I wouldn't play two high-priced running backs in a cash game this week. I think it hurts you too much to other positions.
Will this expand upon this, young buck? What are you thinking? Mean, a quarterback, maybe?
I'm not giving you guys my cash game.
No. You didn't let me frame the question. Are you looking at a quarterback, perhaps? Perhaps spending up on a wide receiver instead, or a Gronk lineup?
Yeah, it's gonna be Gronk or Brady. I can't get those guys in two high priced running backs. I mean, kind of value dependent, but you know, some value could really open up with the running back position this week. So might look to save a little bit there. Really depends for me. I mean, we do the first look show. A lot of it's still up in the air. Like I haven't even started constructing a cash game roster yet, even for the Thursday slate. You know, I'm gonna do all that tomorrow afternoon. You know, I just try and get a good grasp of the slate in general, get a good grasp of things to expect, matchups and whatnot, and then you can take into account the inactives, the actives, and really get a better idea of where the value is.
Okay, excellent. Final thoughts, Stevie, anything we missed that you wanted to hit up on there?
No, I just like Bryce was saying, it's tough. If you're building a Thursday lineup, I would be very careful who I take at running back. If you're looking going into Sunday, you just really need to pay attention to injuries. There's so many injuries this week, and we won't have any news on most of these injuries, like 80% of these injuries, until Sunday morning. And that's just how it goes until we get the inactives, until we start seeing this stuff. There's a lot of times that my cash lineups for Sunday aren't done until an hour and a half before the game, because it all depends on injuries and roster construction and things like that. But pay attention to the injuries this week. There's some good value if some of these guys are out. And I think you lock in Le'Veon Bell. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think he's the highest scoring running back this week.
All right, Bryce, any last thoughts for you? You want to give a quick shout out to the Pittsburgh Steelers, rooting them on against the evil San Diego Chargers? I was seeing this would have been the week. This was just the battle. There was going to be bets placed. This was going to be great. There was going to be eyebrows shaved, man. I was going to make it happen.
I'm a little more worried about the Pirates right now. Schwarber's doing Schwarber things against them.
That dude's a beast.
So, yeah. I just tweeted out that he made me a lot of money this season, but continues to hurt my Pirates in the postseason. You know, Schwarber was literally the one player I always hit right in baseball. I took him the first day he got called up in cash games, and no one else took him that day. Took him the next day and the day after that, and he didn't really let me down much this season. So I'm kind of impartial towards him. So I'll give a shout-out to my man Schwarber for doing things, but you know, hopefully the Pirates offense can get it turned around here.
All right, chat. With that, stick around. There's going to be one more show tonight. Is the Football Guys mashup with Roto Grinders. We have Austin Lee. We have John Lee, a.k.a. Tip and Pick. And we've got Dan Bach, DB730, the voice of the industry. And someone's going to be singing a song this week, and it's not DB. So you may want to tune in and see what the dub smash is for this week.
Before you sign off, EMAC, I just want to say one thing. We weren't going to talk about it at all, but Attorney General Healy says DraftKings operation is legal. That just came out about 5 minutes ago. I'll post the article. It's probably all over the forums already. Go ahead, EMAC. That's all I was going to say.
All right. Well, with that, thank you, DraftKings, for your legal operations and sponsoring our show. Thank you, RotoGrinders, for giving us this wonderful platform with which to talk about daily fantasy sports. With that, gamers, good luck.